I guess a New York state of mind. Our guest probably hopes that America will at least entertain a New York state of mind coming up. He was governor of the state of New York for three terms, probably the most conservative governor of New York ever. His name is George Pataki. He's a candidate for president of the United States on the Republican side. George, great to speak with you again.
Michael, I'll tell you, I can't tell you how good I feel to hear your voice and to hear you back on the air. Congratulations and stay strong.
Well, thank you so much. I'm feeling enormously better, and you obviously must be feeling pretty good after announcing your candidacy yesterday. Let me clear something up right away. A lot of the coverage of your announcement of candidacy described you as a moderate and described you as, they said on social issues, a progressive. Have you ever used those terms to describe yourself?
Michael, no, I never have. I actually am the only person ever elected governor of the state of New York running on both the Republican and the Conservative Party lines. And I've always considered myself to be a limited government conservative. And I think you were talking about my record, and I'm very proud of that record and very proud that we were able to reduce the size, the power, the cost, the impact of government on people's lives.
Well, you were notorious in some quarters of the liberal press for being one of America's most right-wing, most aggressively tax-cutting, government-busting governors. And now to have it turned around and people are saying, Pataki has no chance because he's a social progressive on the Republican side. Let's clear this up for just a moment. There are people who have said that you are pro-abortion. Do you want to make your position clear, Governor Pataki?
Absolutely. I follow the tenets of my faith. I'm a Catholic. I believe life begins at conception. I've always felt that way.
And in terms of social policy, you would be utterly opposed, would you not, to government funding for abortion?
Yes, I am. You know, I do. I do believe that issues like this shouldn't have the federal government intervening, telling people what they can or can't do, and including funding. I am against federal funding for abortion. I am for leaving those issues to the states and to the people.
Again, if you were running against Hillary Clinton, there would be a great deal that would separate you from her in terms of policy toward abortion, in terms of policy toward marriage. You've also taken the position, and I think most of your Republican colleagues have, that the question of defining marriage is really a state decision, not a federal decision. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Marriage has always been an issue left to the states. And, Michael, very simply, I don't want politicians in Washington telling me how to live my life. It's that simple. On issues like marriage, there's no reason why the state of New York and the state of Texas have to have the same laws. The 10th Amendment leaves that power to the states. And on the issue of abortion, I don't want politicians in Washington dictating to my family what we can or cannot do, whether it's something I agree with or something I disagree with. I believe personally that life begins at conception, but I don't think it's government's right. Washington's right to impose my view on people who don't share that view.
1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. Speaking with George Pataki. Before you came on, Governor, I was sharing with people an amazing AP story about what's happened in Baltimore just in the few weeks since the Freddie Gray incident and the riots. And what's happened is arrests have gone down by more than half. Instead of 2,400 arrests in a month, it's now a total of just barely 1,000. And murder rate has reached its highest point in 15 years. And the same kind of thing is happening, by the way, in New York City, where, of course, you were governor of New York. Do you think that this war on the police and the attacks on our police officers all across the country have been having a negative effect on what had been one of our great triumphs, which is lowering the crime rate?
There's no question about that, Michael. The war on the police that the left has carried on across the country, I think, is truly tragic. First, the police are, particularly in places like New York City, among the best trained, most diverse, and most courageous people this country produces. And to see them demonized, and as a consequence, to see government policy restricting their ability to protect people is absolutely wrong. And by the way, Michael, when I took office, New York was the most dangerous state in America. When I left, it was the fourth safest. And the people who benefited the most from our tough approach to violent crime and to policing, where you actually go and arrest criminals, are the low-income neighborhoods, the minority-income neighborhoods where people are most vulnerable. You take the subway home at night, you are vulnerable to violent crime. You live on Fifth Avenue and have a driver bring you home, you're going to be safe. So these policies most impact people, as you said, in places like downtown Baltimore, and it's tragic to see the rate of violence go up like that.
Let's go to a caller, if we can, Governor, to Mark in Bellevue, Washington. You're on the MedVet Show with Governor Pataki.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Michael, my gripe with you is, as a police apologist, is you brought up the Baltimore situation with the six police officers, and now they're afraid to police. The problem with police officers is when one police officer commits a crime, whether it be a big crime or a small crime, the other police officers won't come forward. And when there is a crime in the community, the police beg the people in the community to come forward and give information so they can bring it to a close. Policemen do not do that. They close ranks. They will not. All those six policemen had to do was, the police that weren't involved in it, all they had to do was say what happened, and this thing goes away.
Well, again, when you say this thing goes away, I'm not so sure that's the case with the riots and what have you. Let me ask Governor Pataki. When you were governor of New York, did you ever encounter experience with some bad cops, cops who had done wrong?
Of course. I mean, when you have a police force of 40,000 people, there are going to be those who think they're above the law and act inappropriately, and the law has to apply equally to all. And that is the job of government. That is the job of law enforcement. And I believe we were doing that quite well. But to think that because there are always going to be people who abuse their position of authority, that we should do something like dramatically limit policing in a place like Baltimore, or restrict the police from being able to go after criminals in a city like New York, results in crime going up, not in a place like Bellevue, Washington, by the way. You know, I'm not from Washington State, but I don't particularly perceive as Bellevue as a high crime area. And it's easy to live there and say how the cops do this and the cops do that, and we have to do this to them, when you live in a community or a neighborhood that's totally safe. When you're dealing with the realities of high crime areas and reacting instantaneously, it's a totally different story.
George Pataki is a candidate for president of the United States. He has won every election he has ever entered. We'll see how he does in this one. He will be back with us, and we'll field more of your calls. I want to get to some foreign policy issues and to the debate right now about ISIS within the Republican Party. That and more with George Pataki coming up.